Playing Brass Against with a cover song. All right, there you are, Brass Against. You heard, yes. All right, we're rocking and rolling. Rad, awesome. Thank you.
We just signed the lease on our third shop. I guess we're a chain now, right? We've worked...
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land.
And we are on. Hello and welcome to the Monday afternoon show. People, it's Monday. Here we are, first Monday in May, following May Day, International Workers' Day, May 1st, the ancient pagan festival of Beltane, festival of love, festival of fertility, bonfire making, the unity of the ancient goddess and god is was celebrated and still is throughout many places today. So happy May. We're following Cinco de Mayo was yesterday. Wonder if people went and had some fun, enjoyed some margaritas, some Mexican food perhaps, music, culture, libations. And here we are in the midst of... spring. It's a cross quarter. Halfway between the spring equinox and the summer solstice lies this cross quarter festival of Beltane. That's May 1st. And we're still suffering from having to bear witness to this United States-funded genocide over in Palestine right now. This is tough stuff. We're not going to spend the entire 2 hours on that, but I got a lot of music lined up, some audio from the protests. Student encampment, students rising up once again. I just want to give a big shout out to the students who are having their voices heard, whether you agree with these students or not. The right to protest is fundamental, especially on college campuses. It's the whole point is to experience democracy when you're in college and to be part of it and to protest, to be a witness. And the college kids definitely are not asleep. They are not apathetic. They see what is happening. This is not just a trend, as some of these older neoliberal types have suggested, that this is just a trendy thing. They don't really know what's going on over there. It's really complicated. They have no clue. Hello, they're witnessing genocide being live streamed on TV. I think they know exactly what's going on. And even though perhaps the funding from investments from universities and colleges are only a fraction of the billions and billions of dollars given to Israel, to the war machine by the Pentagon, it's still 100% of the funds that these students are giving to the university, are 100% of the funds are being sent to companies, some of which are going to the war machine in Israel. So I think the students have absolutely every right to protest, every right to act in civil disobedience, and every right to go for divestment. They said it wouldn't work under apartheid in South Africa. $3.5 billion of United States investments in the apartheid regime in South Africa throughout the 1980s. They said that wouldn't work to divest, you know, it's still going to, and guess what? It did. So big shout out to the students out there. We are going to hear from them. A couple of musical tidbits. Play a little bit of this one from Nina Paley. Really, you have to see the video, but here's the song.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. Then I see a land where
bomb detonation countdown
can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me and walk. Be strong!
prepared a treaty. I still call them all crooks. Our reservations, the apology, anthropology shows the truth, but they still won't acknowledge me. And now they talking this, my country tends to thee. And my people, they went through misery, raped our women and killed our children, replaced all the greenery with concrete buildings, and make me feel like I'm less than a man, and make me carry ID to prove who I am. And now they want to be your friend again. Damn. You better run from this
city. This land is our land. This land ain't no land. From California to the New York Islands. This land is our land. This land ain't no land. From California to the New York Islands.
Run, Indian, head for the mountains. If Colonel Custer comes around, then you scalp him and fly another arrow. Now Mr. C's on the dick tip. They gave us blankets from a man who died of smallpox in return for tomahawks. Now nah, just some gold rocks. Let's play cowboys and Indians. It's sad, why? Cause the Indian was always the bad guy. It's 96 and I'ma keep on rapping and make sure nobody forgets that it happened. The government still ain't scaring me. It's Lightfoot, fool, and I'm proud to be a Cherokee. As I look up, disgust only hovers me. Plus Chris Columbus gets credit for discovery. And now they wanna be your friend again. Damn, you better run from
this
city.
This land is our land. This land ain't no land. From California to the New York Island. This land is our land. This land ain't your land. From California to the New York Island, yeah.
Now I'ma make it all fair again. If you ain't an Indian fool, then you really ain't American. The cavalry celebrated victory and glory. I read it, it's history, nah, it's his story. Picture a beautiful country with green trees. Living in peace, you see thousands of teepees. Living off the land and our own laws. No president's deficit or government flaws. But now our people are living in poverty. And they taught us a word they call property. If I wanted to, fool, I could hate you. Now tell me, how you put a price on nature? They degrade you. No more medals, just reservations that look worse than ghettos. And now they want to be your friend again. Damn, you better run from
this land.
City.
Is our land. This land ain't your land. From California to the New York Island.
Yeah.
Solidarity encampment, and we're here right now outside the gates of City College, where there's been an exponential escalation in the law enforcement response. I've been here in and out of the encampment since the minute that we launched, and we haven't seen a law enforcement response that comes anywhere close to this in the almost week that we've been up. They waited days without engaging in this type of brutalization of student protesters, and so it was clear that today, the way that they've responded was a policy choice. And they're brutalizing students who have done all the hard work by distilling an ongoing conflict into five clear and concise demands. We have five demands here at the CUNY Solidarity Encampment, which is a callback to the 1969 occupation of City College. But we've reworked them for this moment in history. And our first demand is for the CUNY system to disclose their investments in companies profiting from Israeli apartheid and genocide and divest from those companies. Demand number two is to engage in a full academic boycott of Israeli universities. Number three is to stand in full solidarity with CUNY faculty members and students advocating for Palestinian liberation and to offer them protection from disciplinary charges. And number four is to demilitarize CUNY and to demilitarize Harlem, because this and militarization. And CUNY needs to demilitarize this neighborhood. And number five, we're calling for a people's CUNY. CUNY was free of tuition once before, and we know it can be free once again. And, you know, in the 1980s, there was a strong student movement across the nation and here at CUNY, and CUNY divested from apartheid South Africa. And so we're calling on them to divest again from modern-day apartheid in Israel. Thank you.
You to know exists, but there are thousands of us, and we. here saying, not in our name. When you see the coverage of all these demonstrations and things, you get the impression that no Jews are involved, that Jews are fearful, Jews hate what's going on. No, it's not true. There's hundreds of us here today. There've been thousands of Jews in this country alone taking the side of the Palestinians against the Israeli state. All over the world, there must be hundreds of thousands of Jewish people who are now saying, not in my name. One of the most ridiculous things that we've had to deal with, particularly in the last week or so, is the idea that the police are enforcing a no-go zone for Jews in order to defend all these hate marchers, people who are supporters of terrorism. It's almost the reversal of the truth. We are saying, along with most sensible people around the world, that everybody, Palestinians included, deserve to be free wherever they live, including between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea. People say, but as a Jew, are you not frightened? Are you not subjected to assaults and threats and abuse? And I say, well, actually, I do feel threatened, abused, negated, silenced, cancelled, because when it comes to the media seeking Jewish opinion about what's going on, they go to the Board of Deputies of British Jews, or the Chief Rabbi, or the Jewish Labour Movement, or, heaven forfend, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. All these groups, which have support for Israel, sort of ingrained in their whole agenda and their whole raison d'etre. If there is hatred and abuse directed at Jews, it's often coming from people of the Zionist perspective against anti-Zionist Jews like me. People need to take on board the fact that there are elders in the Jewish community, many of them are Holocaust survivors and also the descendants of Holocaust survivors, who have been present on these demonstrations, given fantastic interviews themselves, explaining why, as victims of a past genocide, they will not tolerate an ongoing genocide that the world is witnessing in real time. It is so... so dangerous and divisive, the way this so-called conflict has been portrayed, taking the Israeli line, calling it the Israel-Hamas war, when this is clearly a war against the entire Palestinian people, collective punishment, ethnic cleansing, plausible genocide. And there is nothing religious about this war. It is a war of settler colonialism against an occupied people. One of the little rays of hope in the current situation, and it's getting bigger, it's getting wider, it's getting brighter, is the growth of opposition to what Israel is doing. And it's happening across the world, and it's happening.
There you have some audio. People standing up, having their voices heard, protesting this ongoing genocide in Palestine, the hands of the United States-backed and funded Israeli military. The latest is apparently Netanyahu and his gang of thugs have entered into Rafah. So basically you have 2.something million Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip, crammed in the most highly densely populated area in the entire world, and then begin to get slaughtered and bombed and absolutely evacuated out of house and home, just cleansed in the worst possible militaristic fashion after October 7th, moved around from place to place, told to go from north to south, from south to east, west, whatever. It's 25 miles long and a tiny thin strip, 10 miles wide, millions of people. The last place they did go was a city called Rafah. 1.something million Palestinians who were told to go to Rafah as the only place you could possibly be safe, even though there is no safe place in Gaza right now. Well, the military, the IDF forces have entered into Rafah. I believe they are bombing right now as we speak. I think a ground invasion is imminent. There's supposed to be these ceasefire negotiations, this Qatar negotiated ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. And that is clearly not happening. It's breaking down. There's, I think the Netanyahu said, yeah, we're willing to negotiate a ceasefire, but we're going to invade and bomb the last civilian location, the city of Rafah, anyways, no matter what. So that's saying two things at once. But that is the way it goes in military speak, statecraft, in the modern age of doublespeak and authoritarianism and apartheid regimes. I mean, this is just the dragon being unleashed upon the people. And here we are with our tax dollars going right over there. And some estimates are up to 60% of your tax, everyone. Your tax dollars goes to the military industrial complex, billions and billions now going over to Israel. And of course, Ukraine, and we got to defend against Taiwan by China. So you got Russia, China, Iran, and of course, those Palestinian children on the top of the list of threats to the new global empire, the new world order. Let's lighten it up a bit here. The four-year-old girl and her dad. This is Claire Ryan and her dad. You've got a friend in me on this Monday afternoon.
This is
You Got a Friend in Me.
Yep. By Claire and Dad.
By Claire and Dad.
You got a friend in me.
captives free. Set the captives free. Set the captives free. Set the captives free.
7th. I want you to imagine, and it's a bit of a leap, I admit, but I want you to imagine that you are the Prime Minister of Israel when that atrocity happens in Israel. What do you do?
That's a great question. So short answer is I resign because I'm responsible for that attack. I'm the one who botched security at the border. I'm the one who propped up Hamas with money from Qatar over the years and allowed them to be propped up as a way to divide the Palestinian people. I'm the one who's had millions of my own people on the streets for months protesting against my authoritarian reforms to the judiciary. So I have some shame. I have some self-respect. I have some honesty. And I say, I quit. Let someone else do this because I've failed for 20 years.
Promises, because until a few weeks ago, I had no hope of being elected. Now, however, I have something more than a hope. And Jim Geddes has something less than a chance. Every straw vote, every independent poll shows that I'll be elected. The working man, and the slum child know they can expect my best efforts in their interests. The decent, ordinary citizens know that I'll do everything in my power to protect the underprivileged, the underpaid, and the underfed.
Mother, is Pop Governor yet?
Not yet, Junior.
Well, I'd make my promises now if I weren't too busy arranging to keep them.
Hi, Brett.
He's present. Thank you very much.
Rather than have him go and tell you all these lies, you can go to DeSantisLies.com. But every time he lies, Drake University, don't turn this into a drinking game because you will be overserved by the end of the night.
Nikki Haley has this tactic. If you hold her accountable to her record, first she'll say, I never said that. Well, one good rule of thumb, if she says she's never said something, that definitely means she said it. Now that she's getting scrutiny, she's got this problem with ballistic podiatry, shooting herself in the foot every other day.
Ron's lying because Ron's losing. Everybody in the country sees it for what it is.
I have polls that show me leading by a tremendous amount in New Hampshire and a lot in Iowa, and nationwide we're leading by almost 60 points. So I'm not exactly worried about it.
Donald Trump.
He's not worried about it. You've been hearing some audio. And we're going to come back to some more audio in a minute here.
لما بدا يتثنى حبي جمال
Chamamian, right there. Songs coming out of Syria right now. And so we're going to go to Congo right now. And then coming up on the 5 o'clock hour, got news coming. So this is Ricardo Lembo and Makima Loka with Samba Luku Samba, Congo and Cuba, right here. Picking it up Afro-Latin style.
Don't estará que va.
So get it.
Carabina, por favor.
Bandolero, tu juicio ha llegado ya. Zamba, Lugu Zamba. Zamba, Lugu Zamba.
To the Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange, which brings the same Israeli occupation forces that are murdering Palestinian children right here to Georgia to train our police officers, and then they turn around and murder black children in the street. They murder unarmed citizens simply because they refuse to sign a parking ticket. We are calling for an end to the genocide, not only in Palestine, but here in Atlanta, because we realize this connection is one that cannot be denied.
Started packing. They left before the sun came up that day. An exit to eternal summer slacking. But where were they going without ever knowing the way? They drank up the wine and they got to talking. Get hungry, they'll never get old and gray. before the sun came up that day. And they just drove off and left it all behind them. But where were they going without ever knowing the way? Anyone can see the road that they walk on is paved in gold. It's always summer.
Not how you would have done it. You bundle things right, and that saves you up to 10% on your USAA home and auto insurance. Get a quote today. USAA.
And we are back on this death day of Henry David Thoreau, died in 1862 on this day. He wrote a little something about civil disobedience and about paying war taxes and wrote a bunch of other stuff. Rest in peace, Henry David Thoreau. Also, it's the anniversary in this day, 1955, West Germany joins NATO. NATO's having a big old party, a big grand old party down in D.C., some NATO headquarters in a month or so, a few weeks. It's a big summit to talk about full spectrum dominance. You don't know what that means? Look it up. Very important. So thanks for joining again for the second hour of the Monday afternoon show. We have lots of music and more coming your way. I forgot to mention that we heard Bob Marley, Exodus. That was live in Amsterdam. We heard some commentary from the protests from CUNY, student commentary. Native American singer Lightfoot kicked off the show earlier with My Land. And we heard Lena Chamamyan with Lama Bada Yatahana. Heard Brass Against with Aerials, which is a cover of System of a Down. That's a band called Brass Against, great brass band, with Sofia Urista on vocals there. And Fastball, the band, being covered by a group called Lilac Wine. We heard the song The Way. So happy birthday, Tony Scalzo, from the band Fastball, born on this day in 1964, playing a song from them. We heard some Orson Welles. It's also the birthday of Orson Welles, born on this day in 1915. And we heard a clip from Citizen Kane. That was the campaign promises scene, followed by some GOP sound bites from their shenanigans with, I don't even want to mention it, those people with them. And Israel and Cop City Connection from a reverend from Atlanta, Georgia. And we're going to do another Native American song here. Buffy St. Marie, one of my favorite musicians ever, singers. This is with Tanya Tagak. This is You Got to Run, Spirit of the Wind. Buffy St. Marie on the Monday afternoon show. This is Kieran here with you till 6 p.m. Thanks again for joining. We're doing it. We're trying to do it. Trying to do it. Enjoy this.
You're in a trance. Say, who did you think you are to have a chance? You're a no one from a place where everyone knows your face. They come and go, ain't they know the sun. So you better hang on and hey, you better run. Cause here's your chance and your race is begun. We'll be right back.
so low that it kissed the ground. But you can see yourself a winner beyond the money and the greed. Beyond the prize is a pure untested need. And to be a champion is more than luck and speed. It's power and freedom in the spirit of the wind.
That was Buffy St. Marie and Tanya Tagak with You Got to Run, Spirit of the Wind on the Monday afternoon
show.
Some
people just...
Yeah. We got... we're going to go to the phones now. We had a caller actually calling in. Let's see how this goes with my new phone system. All right. Caller, can you hear me? All right, hold on one second here. Let me see if I can get that working. It worked before. Okay, let's see. Audio on the phone call. Caller, can you hear me now?
Yes, Wayne Coe, artist in Chatham, New York.
Okay.
Hi, you can hear me?
Yep. We got Wayne Coe on the line. My aux cord is messing with me. So Wayne Coe, artist from Chatham, New York, calling in. Thanks for calling, Wayne. How's it going?
Excellent. So Instagram is lit up with people from Gaza crying for help and talking about the latest Israeli incursion on Rafah. Everyone in the world has said, you know, they have nowhere else to go. But that has not stopped the Israelis from voting on it with their war cabinet and beginning an assault. Yet, at the same time, negotiations have gone forward between Hamas and Israel, and there was talk in the last 2 days of them approaching a finish. So the question, you know, begs the question, is this assault on Rafah, will kill as many people as it takes to break the back of Hamas and make them accept unacceptable conditions, or what's going on? So since I talked to Kieran, I understand that Hamas has accepted some deal. But that does not mean that Israel is not going to go and try to invade Rafah and kill an illimitable more number of people. On the ground, there's a reporter named Bissan. Response was, they're telling them to go to Han Yunus. Han Yunus is rubble. It is unsafe. There's nothing there. There's no water. There's no electric. There's nothing. And so they're like, we can't go there. We're 1.5 million people. They have tents. They have some water access of some kind, and they have electric producing solar things where they are at the moment in tent cities. But on the eastern side, they're blowing up whole square blocks, and then here's this captive population that's been actively starved and trapped. And during all this, do we call it genocide negotiations? In's come this deal that has been now announced. if I've gone on long enough, I have a commentator named Mahmoud O.D., who's on YouTube, who's been following this very calmly, and he can, if you like, I could play a couple minutes of his assessment of what's going on.
You could give it a shot. I'm not sure if the audio will come through over your phone, but let's give it a shot.
Okay. This is Mahmoud O.D.
We've had significant updates today, especially following the Israeli War Cabinet approval of an Israeli action in Rafah. They started forcing the people out of their homes. Reports that approximately 100,000 Palestinians fled their homes, and they previously told the Egyptians that it will be a limited action in the eastern part of Rafah. Reports in Israel claim that they wouldn't have an all-out, full-scale operation across all of Rafah, but it will be very limited. They had multiple reasons for that. However, the more significant update that we had is just a few hours later, Hamas decided to submit their response and accept the ceasefire. Now, this didn't come out of nowhere. In the past few months, we've had the negotiations going on. Hamas showed leniency, and Israel approached the demands of the Palestinians more. And Hamas haven't submitted their response yet to the ceasefire up until now. Why did they choose it now, and is it due to the military campaign? In short, Hamas just conducted an act of political brilliance after they conducted military brilliance in defending themselves and the Palestinian people against the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Why do I say that? Look at Israel's declared objectives of the war. Eliminating the Hamas, not making Gaza pose a threat on Israel, and getting back all of the Israeli prisoners in Gaza, alongside, obviously, ethnically cleansing Gaza. They didn't declare it outright as an objective, but they stated many times that they do want to expel the people, and we've had many statements about their intentions to completely commit an ethnic cleansing campaign in Gaza. They failed with every single one of these things, and the people that they returned from Gaza, the Israelis, were through negotiations with Hamas. Hamas is still in Gaza. The Palestinian resistance is still in Gaza. This agreement, and even before this agreement, they started getting more aid in, allowing people back to the north, and they withdrew most of their forces from Gaza. I will be talking in much more detail about this, including the official statement from Hamas and the potential of Israel.
Okay, did you get that?
Absolutely. That, believe it or not, the audio came through.
Great. Okay.
So I just, you know, just a couple of comments, or just one main comment is just the words. The two words that don't seem to mean anything to me personally with this situation, with the so-called negotiations, are the word negotiation and the word ceasefire. The Israelis at this point, I think, have shown and proven their true colors. And, I mean, they've completely lost it. And I don't know how people are clinging on to this, American, position of support for an absolutely and complete genocidal, apartheid, authoritarian government that is basically committing genocide, live streamed on TV. By the way, you can watch it.
Yeah,
it's debate. I can't really watch it, but I have
to. Most people, they don't want to, and they're in just complete denial because they can't. I mean, I can't imagine the scale. That's why I sent you that little clip of Norman Finkelstein. It's like worse than Dresden.
Yeah. So
bombing of Berlin.
So we're coming into like World War II level war crimes going on here, which is not supposed to be happening in 2024, right? We've all this narrative of the evolution of, you know, military precision,
progress,
you know,
and all.
So apparently that doesn't seem to be happening. So I just don't understand how Israel's even trying to spin this narrative of even attempted negotiations or ceasefire as they go into the last remaining area of 1.5 million people with an invasion. Are they doing the ground invasion? Is that actually still happening?
Well, they began blowing up whole square blocks of, and then they dropped pamphlets and sent in soldiers saying, go to Han Yunus, and Han Yunus is flat.
Okay, so the ground invasion is going ahead. So they're absolutely delirious. I mean, it's just they've gone nuts.
We don't know whether this acceptance of the ceasefire terms will stop the Rafah invasion. That's the thing. It's like we don't know, and we don't know. Whether it's a capitulation. I mean, as this commentator, Mahmoud Odi, was saying, they've managed to successfully avoid and evade every single military objective of Israel. And on, you know, what they call fringe media, on every internet source, YouTube source I follow, for months, Scott Ritter and Chris Hedges and Norman Finkelstein, everyone has said Israel lost. You know, they've completely lost, and they have essentially destroyed their credibility forever as, you know, as having this prestige and that they're this, you know, marvelous, magical, resuscitative theocracy.
Well, we'll see what happens, because this is going to be a slow coming around as far as the mainstream American narrative goes. You know, you see these students rising up. This gives me hope. You see people taking
bless
to this,
exactly.
this street.
Bless them.
And
they
bless Jewish Voice for Peace from the very beginning has been on the front lines, has been vigiling, weekly vigils, marches, and statements from Jewish Voice for Peace. United States is not asleep to this. People are waking up, and I think...
Well, Jewish people are not asleep, and I think many Americans who are following it, they had a Holocaust survivor, and he said it in the best way. He was talking about this phone, he called it the fake anti-Semitic law they're trying to push through, and he said they're conflating anti-genocide, anti-Israel, anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. And I went, that is the most succinct statement I've heard. He said, you know, being against genocide is not anti-Semitic. Being against Israel, which is a state, it's not a human being, it doesn't have a God, is not anti-Semitic. Being against Zionists, who are settler colonialists, hell-bent on taking everything because they got a Bible in their hand and they feel like they're entitled to, which is my forefathers, Robert Coe Puritan, you know, came to the New World, helped clear the woods of an infestation of hostile savages. If you look back at our pedigree, it's equally as unspeakable. And that's why it's erased from public education. It's erased from the general collective memory of most Americans.
And that's an important analogy. The Native American nations have taken sides with the Palestinian cause for decades and decades now, and as have the Irish people in their struggle against colonialization.
As have Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and all people of color, you know, color in the U.S., as did Gandhi.
Yeah. List goes on. We'll see. Is, you know, history, we know. I feel like we know how it's going to play out. But, in history. But right now, I'm like, geez, can this please stop? We need it to stop. Stop immediately. So bless the students. Bless speaking up.
Bless
thank you for
students.
Calling
and,
in,
and
Wayne,
thank,
and sharing that audio.
Thanks for allowing people to talk about it on the airwaves. And I recommend people follow Norman Finkelstein and Chris Hedges and Noam Chomsky and Cornel West and Jill Stein and all the intellectuals who – you know, can speak about this topic. They're not being gagged. bless them all.
Yep. So there is hope. And we got one from Bernie Sanders, actually. Believe it or not, he's talking about the right to protest. I think we're going to go right to that. Right now.
Talk to you.
Thanks, Wayne Coe, for calling in from Chatham, New York. Wayne Coe, always a pleasure. Here's Bernie.
Are you ready for a very radical statement? Well, here it goes. I support the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, and this is what it says. Quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. End of quote. Let us be clear. Protests and demonstrations have played an enormously important and positive role in modern American history. Without protests led by Dr. King and others, we would not have made progress in eliminating segregation in America and combating racism. Without protests, women in America would still be second-class citizens, unable to control their own bodies or have equal opportunities in the workforce. Without protests, many of our gay brothers and sisters would still be hiding their sexual identity. Today, on college campuses all over this country, students are exercising their constitutional right to protest. They are standing in opposition to American policy, which is providing billions of dollars for Netanyahu's right-wing extremist Israeli government's war against the Palestinian people, a war which has already killed 33,000 Palestinians and injured 77,000 more, two-thirds of whom are women and children. A war which has destroyed or damaged more than half of the housing in Gaza. A war which has essentially annihilated the healthcare system in Gaza. A war which has done incredible damage to the civilian infrastructure in Gaza, electricity, clean water, and sewage. A war which has bombed every one of the 13 universities in Gaza and left hundreds of thousands of children without schooling. In my view, demonstrations must be nonviolent. Not only is that the right thing to do, it is the most effective thing to do. The focus must be on the suffering of the people in Gaza, not bricks flying through windows. And absolutely, we must all work together to make certain that we free our country from all forms of bigotry, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, racism, homophobia, and every other form of hatred.
No run. You did sound the siren on his war now. War, war, war. Special patrol will fall like a wall for stone or a town turned to dust. Though them keep them bold, we know them cool like ice with fear. Weapon them quick. All we need is bottles and bricks and sticks. We have fists, we have feet, we carry dynamite in the deep. Send it to the riot squad quick, cause we're running wild. Bitter like bile, blood will guide their way. And I say, all we're doing is defending, so get you ready. The war, war. Freedom is a very firm thing.
عندهم دبابات واحنا عنا حجار. بيهدموا ببيوتنا بقتلوا بالاطفال. يا فلسطين الأحرار يا غزة الأبطال الصهيوني جاي لنهار ترا ترا ترا. بإيمانكم ستشهدون عداء صهيونية الإرهابية عنصرية الفاشلة. يا شهداء غزة الأبرار يا من تحديت العدو على خط النار. روحكم سوف تكون رمز المنار. انتصاركم مكتوبة على كل جدار. عاشت 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 فلسطين يا رؤساء والزعمات العرب بعدكم نايمين. أين أنتم؟ أين صوتكم يدوي غضبا على هذه الحال؟
ورد التجاهل. 60 عام تحشروا الشعب تتآمروا على الشعب تقاتلوا هالشعب تمثلوا في هالشعب. والشعب شعب والمحتل محتل. قام العالم سوا بين الدم أم عالم مختل. بس التاريخ ما بيشفي التاريخ بمحي. وأنا شايف التاريخ طريق برك عيون شعبي. يقولوا لنا قرار أمم احترم بنحترم. يقولوا لهم قرار أمم يوم يحزب بالزبالة. تخزو هوش سمعها رمم قيادات جبانة عايشة بعز والشعوب دايما عايشة بإهانة. هو عنده أسلحة للزوال وإحنا عنا أسلحة للبقاء. عنا حجار عنقودية عنا إرادة نووية وعنا عقول مسلحة بقرار شامل. قرار شامل ينادي بالحرية.
شعرهم شاب السواد بأفكارهم هافة زاد. وقع بالألف وقعوا بحب الإرهاب. بيعملونا كسرطان عندهم بالقلب. إيديهم مش قادرة تسلم لأن أصابعهم على الفرد. يا ابن العرة كلنا غزهم بالعزة. الناس زي كل الناس في إحساس مش حماس ولا عباس. لما شفت غزة أنا شفت حالي. شفت أطفال تتيدى بين أيدي الله مع الأهلي. أطفالي تموت وأنا أبكي أفتش على أولادي. شفت نسوين تنطف حضانة أختي. استشهدت معلي استشهد لأني شفت أخرتي. ولما شفت المقاومة أنا كنت بدي كنت بدي. بس واقعي نصحني أجه الألم.
كلنا عندنا دبابات.
بينهم انا عاجز لا دافع عن نفسي وبالنسبة لهم
صحت الحرب
لعبات نينتندو شايفيننا نقط مالي اذا ما انا رقم بعداد جثث
ثقة بيردوها كدفاع عن النفس
هل هتغباء ام استعلاء والله مالي نفس اعبر عن رأيي بلاش يسدوا نم ديمقراطية غير محطة زعيم عربي بخطب غير الحطة اللي بيسمعني يفكر انه كان لي توقعه عشو متعشي اليوم اللي فيه زعمائنا بيبدو ياخذوا موقف ببدأ استغل
عمنا فرص
لأول مرة الشعب الشارع مغلول واقف بيظاهر وانتو على الكرسي قاعدين مين المشلول
شو اقول
الله يساعد غزة وبكرة يساعدنا
شو اقول
اطفالي يابا ما حدش وقف جنبنا يا قائد العرب جاهزة يا بتنزل يا بتنجزها في فراغ سياسي ومطلوب فحل صاحب كاريزما
كلنا عندهم دبابات احنا عنا حجار
Even if you seem to be as small as a mustard seed, you can't go to Zion alone. What a hola, 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 Mount Zion. What a hola, 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 Mount Zion. Zion is a You believe Zion is a holy place. Hey, the sin cannot enter there. I walk Mount Zion. Children of Israel, walk home Mount Zion. Why Zion is a holy place? Oh. Blood money, big no bag of blood money. It just can't save you from Zion is a holy place. Can you? No sin cannot enter there. Yeah, Zion is a holy place. Ha, no sin cannot enter there. What's it about out? I want to my side.
And the only reason
Here comes a wave meant to wash me away. A tide that is taking me under. Swallowing sand left with nothing to say. My voice drowned out in the thunder. But I won't cry, and I won't start to crumble. Whenever they try to shut me or cut me down, I won't be silenced. You can't keep me quiet. Won't tremble when you try it. All I know is I won't go speechless. 'Cause I'll breathe when they try to suffocate me. Don't you underestimate me. 'Cause I know that I won't go speechless. Written in stone, every rule, every word. Centuries old and unbending. Stay in your place, better see.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, we mix it up here on the Monday Afternoon Show. That's kind of part of what we do. But I want to thank you all so much for listening on this Monday, May 6th. That was Naomi Scott. See, we like to do birthdays and death days and festivals and holidays and anniversaries and all sorts of stuff. And it's Naomi Scott's birthday. Born in 1993, way back. Wow. But this was from the remake of the movie Aladdin. They did a second version. And I just, if you listen to those lyrics and heard that song, following Claire Daly from Ireland speaking at a protest indicting President Biden and indicting Frau von der Leyen, Genocide Joe, and the rest of them, the MP from Ireland. The song Speechless really applies to a lot of things. It's intersectionality. Of course, they're talking about patriarchy and whatnot in this song. But it also applies, I believe, to the students speaking up against genocide and to the cause of liberation and peace around the world, particularly in Gaza right now as we speak, as Rafah, the last area of civilian refuge, which isn't really refuge, is now being completely bombed and invaded, at the same time as so-called negotiations and ceasefire operations are being talked about. So, tough times. So we heard from Orson Welles. Don't have time for more audio from him. Born in 1915. I think they made it illegal to play the audio from the War of the Worlds. There's some, Tom Rowe would know all about this. But after War of the Worlds debuted and Orson Welles narrated on the radio this so-called alien invasion of the United States of the world, United States and of the world, I think, or maybe it was just the U.S. Anyway, aliens invaded. This was like in the 1950s, and people thought it was real, and they freaked out. So they made some law, you know, good old FCC, saying you can't do that and freak people out because they might think aliens are really coming. What if I say the fascists are coming? Are people going to run and go crazy? I don't know. Anyway, it's funny. It's funny with FCC law. And Orson Welles, happy birthday, born in 1915. We heard from Citizen Kane from the campaign speech. Sigmund Freud, born in 1856. If you speak German, maybe you'll get this really bad joke. Sigmund Freud said that there what lay between fear and sex. What lies between fear and sex? Does anyone know? Fumph. Anyway. Martin Robinson Delaney, born on this day in 1812. And it's a death day of Henry David Thoreau, died in 1862. In the country of Romania, it's Tinjuana Day, the planting festival involving plowing and planting, spring festivities happening. It's the time of the Kentucky Derby. Crazy horse gives a whole new meaning to the term crazy horse. Lots of money being spent. Horses, millions of dollars worth of horse bodies. Pretty amazing thing. West Germany joins NATO in 1955 on this day. Yep. In 1527, let's talk way back in history, it's the anniversary of the sack of Rome. So even the strongest of empires in history come crumbling down. Germany, NATO, U.S., Israel, Britain, is it Great Britain? Okay, Britain. Not so bad, Britain. England. It all comes to an end. Hear the dogs barking, they know. In 1626, a man named Peter Minuit, so-called purchases Manhattan Island from indigenous nations for probably some beads or something. I forget what it was. Yeah, it's worth a lot more now. Although, my prediction is in 50 years, it won't be worth too much anymore. That maybe it's not even worth the beads that Peter paid for. Inshallah. In 1913, this week, California passes laws barring Asian immigrants from owning land. 15 other states follow suit. This is just a little over 100 years ago, barring people from owning land on the basis of their race. Know your history. So we're going to go into some musical birthdays. They might be giants. You never know. They might be. John Flansburgh was born in 1960 on this day, and here's a song from They Might Be Giants called Kiss Me, Son of God.
I built a little called the blood of the exploited working class. But they've overcome their shyness, now they're calling me your highness, and the world screams, kiss me, son of God. I destroyed the bond of friendship and respect between the only people left who'd even look me in the eye. Now I laugh and make a fortune off the same ones that I tortured, and the world screams, kiss me, son of God. I look like Jesus, so they say, but Mr. Jesus
Okay, they might be giants. Kiss me, son of God. I forgot to say it's George Clooney's birthday. Good old George Clooney, born on this day in 1961. And here's him at the Hollywood Awards. And Tina Fey acknowledging George Clooney's wife, Amal, who does all this humanitarian work. Quick little clip here of Tina Fey on George Clooney's birthday today. This is an old clip of him at the awards ceremony. Pretty good.
George Clooney married Amal Alamuddin this year. Amal is a human rights lawyer who worked on the Enron case, was an advisor to Kofi Annan regarding Syria, and was selected for a three-person UN commission investigating rules of war violations in the Gaza Strip. So tonight, her husband is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award.
And happy birthday, Elton John.
It's a little bit funny.
Nope.
This
sorry.
Feeling inside.
I got that wrong. It's Davy Johnstone's birthday, born in 1951, of the Elton John Trio. But here's one of my favorite Elton John songs, and we're out of time. Catch you next week. Thanks for listening to the Monday Afternoon Show. Kieran signing off. Till next week.
I'd buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no. Or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down the word. You're in the world. I sat on the roof and kicked off the moss. Well, a few of the verses, well, they've got me quite cross. But the sun's been quite kind while I wrote this song. It's for people like you that it turned on. So excuse me for getting, but these things I do. You see, I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. Anyway, the thing is, what I really mean, yours are the sweetest eyes I've ever seen. And you can tell everybody this is the song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind that I put down in the words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in the words how wonderful life is while you're.
Some people just know that the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Because you are not doing this. Save with DriveWise and get a rate based on you. You're in good hands with Allstate.
We all love saving money. But when you're paying as little as 33 cents a day on USAA renter's insurance, there's no need to fight over the thermostat. Get a quote and start saving today. USAA.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did,
embargo. And answer me this: how come because they have done their worst. And yet, Palestine lives, and we are only starting. So the great who appeared great, because we are on our knees, but we are off our knees now, and they don't look so great. And we will continue, now and forever, until Palestine is free.